Sometimes what looks like a really simple question turns out to be a really hard question, especially when you're looking at yourself and your life and the way you are.
We always have an odd one in the crowd.
So it's kind of odd.
We're decidedly odd.
Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd?
No, it doesn't strike me as a little bit odd.
It's the Bob and Sherry Oddcast, the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, or shouldn't do on the regular show. Now, here's the Oddcast.
So guys, I'm on some business website, and I'm just skimming and reading articles, and I landed on one about, your job and job satisfaction, and it was kind of a way to check yourself. You know, am I where I'm supposed to be? Because you can get to a point. We've all known people like this. We're pretty lucky because the kind of work we do. I mean, it's just lucky. You can call it whatever else you want, but we're lucky to do the kind of work we do.
I'm feeling so lucky, Sherry.
So lucky. Oh, I know, Max. Everybody. But I mean, we all know people that clock into a job that's either physically exhausting or emotionally and mentally draining or both, and they don't love it. Like, they're not living their dream. They're earning a living. And, you know, that's why I say, like, we're lucky and blessed that, you know, we're able to earn a living and kind of live a dream, even if it's not maybe the biggest dream you ever had, Lamar. Like, it's still a dream, right?
It's a dream. It's a dream.
So the way to begin thinking about, like, where am I with this career? But I think this also applies to your life, like your marriage or your relationship, your family, your friends, like how you're moving through this one precious life. Here it goes. You have to ask yourself two questions. The first question is, what do I want more of? And the second question is, what do I want less of? It seems easy, right? You would say, well, I want more money and more free time and less stress and aggravation.
Yeah, sounds right.
But just saying, I want more money and more free time is not going to bring you those things, right?
Nope. It's true.
And that's what this article was saying. Like, as soon as you get done saying you want more free time and more money, you have to ask that question again in a way that's going to get you closer to those goals. So looking at your life, not just your job, but looking at your life right now, right off the top of your head, and we'll go around the room, what do you want more of? Lamar, you want to start?
Yeah. I would have to go with the free time deal. Because I feel like in my life right now, between work and then Carla, my wife, and I, we're busy. God, we are busy doing stuff. We are going from one place to another. I mean, you know, and there's not much sitting around time. There's really not much sitting around time. Now, part of the deal is, you know, we're not getting any younger. So, you know, if you want to go and do and whatever, but it's just, you know, it's just never a sitting down time. So I would love to have more of that.
So more, you know, it's funny because what I had been thinking about this was, man, I would like some more unstructured time. Yes. Time to think or not. Time to stare into space or not. Time to just sit outside and feel the sun on my head. You know, more unstructured time. Like, I feel that every minute of my day is hyper, hyper scheduled and the demands on it. And right now, of course, that's kind of really true because I'm like in a caregiving situation. So,
and you're stuck in this for a while.
Yeah. And there's never, and I have no resentment for it. There's a lot of aspects of it that I'm really enjoying because, you know, it really, like, we're spending a ton of time together. Yeah. Which we weren't really doing as much, even though we're in the same space, we really were off doing our separate things. So I don't have any resentment for it, but every minute is spoken for. Every minute.
Yes.
And then when I get some free time, there are all these things that still need to be done. Like my husband said to me, woman, haven't seen you working on your needlepoint lately. No, you haven't.
Yeah.
That is correct. You have not. Because that is something that, if I'm doing it, that's the only thing I can be doing. Like, I can't be stitching a giggling dolphin while simultaneously typing or cooking. Thank you, Darby. So we're going to come back and find out, what does Max want more of? What does Doc want more of? Right after this. We are so excited about Bob and Sherry Premium. Well-marbled, juicy, and always fresh, with loads of behind-the-scenes photos and videos, exclusive content, including our classic chat room calls and our best-of CDs. And best of all, it's just $4.99 a month. BobandSherry.com/premium. So we're talking about this idea of what you want more of in your life and what you want less of in your life. But turns out both Lamar and I want more of the same thing. And that's unstructured free time. When you look back on like your childhood and your younger childless self and all of the hours that you just frittered away, oh my God, to have a spoonful of that back. All right, Max and Doc, it's your turn. What would you like more of?
I don't know if you call it structured time, but I love to hike and I'm not doing it enough. And I want more time, more extended time that I can go somewhere and spend the night and hike and not have to worry about anything else. Not have to worry about anything. And that is the one thing, because hiking is my happy place. It really is.
Can I just say, for people that don't necessarily really know, 2023 was a really difficult year for Max.
Yeah.
Really difficult year.
Yeah.
We went through a very difficult period work-wise, and Max's mom passed in July and then his dad passed in November. 2023 was a hard year, and Max did not get much time on the trail. There just was always something. It felt like there was always an emergency on the verge of erupting for you last year, buddy.
Yeah.
It really did feel that way.
Yeah, there was always, there was the anticipation of, then there was what was happening, and then there was, you know, what you had to deal with afterwards. And it just seemed like it's like you kind of swung one way. All right, now that one's done. Now you've got the next one. Now you've got the next one. And so that's part of it. The one thing that I am grateful for is I do work that I enjoy. I really do. Between working on the show, working on the True Weird Stuff podcast, and then to be able to do the occasional play and act, the only problem is, in order to do all those things, you have to run a pretty exhaustive schedule. And that sometimes gets a little wearing, but I am forever grateful for all of those things. You were talking before about having a job where that's so physically demanding. I imagine somebody that is having to press through some of that sort of stuff. And I just, as I was sitting here, as you were saying that, I went, you know, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. And, you know, I mean, this is what I wanted to work in this business. This is what I wanted to do when I was a teenager, and to be able to still be doing it is just amazing to me.
That's why I said in the beginning of this episode, like, we're the lucky ones. We really are. Like, we have some days that are the shite, okay, like, for whatever reason. But and we work in a very difficult and challenging industry at a difficult and challenging time in that industry. And we're still the lucky ones. But Max, like, some people would say, oh, if Max had a terribly difficult 2023, why are you bringing up to remind him? I'm not bringing it up to remind him.
No.
I'm bringing it up to validate for him.
Yeah, we're acknowledging that.
Yeah, I don't feel that way at all, Sherry. Uh-uh.
Because you not only had a lot of loss in 2023, you got sick a couple of times and continued working, because around here, if you're sick, you still come to work, right? That is one of the lesser silver linings. And I just think that it's important sometimes to tell the truth to yourself about, yeah, that was a difficult time. And you came through it, you know, a little battered as a result. And you need your time back in the woods.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. I think I'm still going through it. And you do. That to me is just, it's what it does is it slows everything down for me. And the greatest thing about hiking for me is you get out there in the woods and you really can feel the sun on your face, and you can close your eyes and you can feel the breeze and you can hear the noises of the woods and you can notice the little creatures that are on the ground or the little flowers that are just popping up through the ground, all of that sort of stuff. And when I am noticing that and when I'm doing that, I'm in a really good place.
Yeah. It's healing. Yeah. It's like warm honey that just drips over your battered psyche, you know, and kind of soothes it. How about you, Doc? What would you like to have more of in your life right now?
So I'm on the same, in the same boat as you guys, as far as wanting more time. So I did a solo podcast. I think it was January 1st. It's called It's Time for Kids. And so every year I create this vision board. It's basically just a fancy way of goals or New Year's resolutions, whatever you want to call it, for the year. And 2023 was a weird one because I had a bunch of things on there that I never got to. And I kind of gave up on them. And like, I don't ever view that as a bad thing, giving up on any goals or resolutions, because you can always just, you know, I think sometimes people get too obsessed with needing to check something off the list. And a lot of these things are goals that are about growth over the long term. So this year is about literally making the time for those things and just making time for just existing outside of work. Because I guess you could call me a recovering workaholic, because for the longest time, my entire like personality and life was centered. I made it this way. It's my own fault. Was centered around being a super hard worker and over the top, like grindy employee. And over the last several years, I've done a complete 180 on that and realizing the amount of time that I've kind of wasted, working away, instead of growing out of the other aspects of my life.
Oh man, that is so well put and so wise. And I relate to that so much. Like you, Doc, one of the things that you and I have in common is we don't feel like we can turn off the lights and go home until not only everything is done, but that we're good and ready for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, you're never done and you're never really ready. And so it's impossible to ever have that moment where you go, okay, we can call it for the day. Like, cause there's always that something nagging at you, right? That you need to get out there and do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I remember at the end of 2023 talking to Tony, our coworker, and I said, listen, I can't have another year like this and I won't have another year like this. It nearly cost me like everything. It nearly cost me my life, my personal life. And, you know, that desire for some unstructured free time is, it's not just like I want to have an afternoon. It's I want to be in a conversation with my husband or my daughter or my bestie and not have to have it interrupted because there's some make-believe emergency on the work side of our lives. I mean, you know what that feels like, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So we know what we want more of. And basically we all kind of want more of the same thing, except Max wants to have his in the woods. What do you want? What do you want less of? And it has to be a different answer. It can't be like another phrasing of more free time. So we'll go back and start with you, Lamar. What do you want less of?
I'm not going to do it because I don't have what it takes to do it, but I want less of the electronic deal. I want less of looking at my phone. I want less. I don't know if that I'm prepared to do it, but I wish I could have less of that, because I don't know about you. When I wake up in the morning, after I turn the alarm off, which is my phone, I pick up my phone to see if I've missed anything, you know, and it's great. Oh gosh. I mean, we've got so much at our fingertips. It's awesome. I mean, it really is awesome, but at the same time, it's still very distracting. It's very, very distracting. And I realize what I'm doing, but yet I can't quite put it down. I could get two things. If I could turn loose of that, I would probably have a lot more of that time that I wish I had. You know what I'm saying? If I had less of this, I would probably have more time.
The catch 22 with the kind of work that we do is.
Oh, yeah.
It's very hard.
No.
Very, very hard to unplug.
Yeah, it is.
Because you stay unplugged for too long, and then, you know, the show turns into, you know what's good when you're thirsty? A nice glass of water.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, what did y'all have for breakfast today? What y'all going to do for lunch? I mean, you know, that's what it turns out to be.
Like, yeah. when you get right down to it, what our job, we're like baleen whales. Our job is to zoom through the world, sucking in all the content and filtering it out again, right? Yeah. That's our job. Yeah. Like we do on the radio show side of our world, people are busy. They're in their cars. They're in the hustle. They're in the struggle. That maybe they're isolated and don't, like, we talk to a lot of listeners who we're kind of like their family. We're kind of like their people. Yeah. They don't have the time to figure out all the, like, latest whatever nuances on whatever. That's our job. We're supposed to do that for them. We're supposed to bring that conversation to them. So there's your excuse for always being on your phone, but there's your assignment too in the same way. It's like really hard.
I mean, I don't even watch when Carla and I sit down to watch Netflix or a show, I've got a laptop in my lap. Now, luckily for me, I can watch TV and I can, you know, I can go through the internet. I can do two things at once, but I'm just always looking. I'm always looking. So
I find, you know, Bob's always giving me grief about, you need to leave your phone at home. Really? Because no, I can't. Sorry. I have a family that needs to reach me. I've left the house twice since my husband's surgery. And I'm like, you call me. Don't do anything. Like, if you stay put, but you call me, I'm just going to the grocery store. I'm just running to the drugstore. Like, sometimes you can't put the phone down. But you're so right, Lamar, man. If we had less of that, think how much less crazy would be. How about you, Max?
Let me say this before I go. One thing I do have less of is while I'm looking at stuff, I don't look at anything that bothers me. I don't look at anything that upsets me. I don't look at anything that makes me think, well, I think I need to tell that. Nope. I just move on to something else. So that's one thing I do. I don't, there's nothing bothering me on the internet. Yeah, it's nothing bothering me. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah.
You're great at that. You really are. Yeah. How about you, Max? What do you want less of?
Less time on hold to any business or establishment or institution that has screwed up something that needs to be fixed or changed or where I need to talk to a human being. Less time. Dun, 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 dun. Having it on speakerphone, trying to do other tasks while you're waiting, so that when they do come on, you have to rush to the phone to make sure that they know that you're still there.
I called, I forget what business it was. I had to call a business a week or two ago. And, you know, please listen closely as our menu options have changed. That is the biggest lie in Western civilization. Your menu options have not changed. But at the end of that whole big bit of fake drama, they said, if you prefer to listen to be on hold without music, press 1. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Because it's not like you're listening to great music on hold, right? You're never listening to great music. So that's a cool feature. So you want to spend less, you want to have less of what little time you have wasted by that kind of crap.
Because it seems like it is such a time suck. When you have to do that, you never get anything immediately. You're like 20. And then the worst part of that is you're like 20 minutes in. And at that point, it's like a death match. No, I'm going to wait you out.
Because you can't give up now.
I'm not going to give up now. No.
Yep.
And you can't even lie to yourself because your phone timer tells you that you've been on hold for 25 minutes and 42
seconds. I almost wish it didn't, because I might be more inclined to say, this is not going to happen, you know?
Yep.
No, I'm with you. Yep. How about you, Doc? What do you want less of?
I want less stress of figuring out things when it comes to cooking. So because of my work schedule for the longest time, and then, you know, having softball as a pretty hardcore hobby, it didn't leave a lot of time to do actual cooking. So, you know, spent many years relying on like fast food and just takeout and frozen dinners and all of that stuff. But this year, I'm just making the conscious effort to actually cook, you know, with actual food, and it's been really really interesting. And the other day, I think I spent more time in the produce section that day than I have probably in the last 10 or 15 years.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And do you find that, I mean, do you enjoy the cooking part of it? Because some people hate it. It's fun for me, but do you like it? Or are you beginning to like it?
I do. I think so. I have tons of anxiety about time and feeling like there's never enough time. And I think that was why I would put off trying to cook, because it felt like it took too long to do that. But now
lean into
the time. Yeah. You lean into it and definitely making the time to cook meals. And that it is crazy how much stuff you can cook by just putting it in an oven and setting it and going and doing something else.
True.
Listen,
Max is the master of that.
One of my boys, Gabriel, Carlos' son Gabriel, his deal is he's a microwave guy. And if it takes longer to cook it than it does to eat it, he wants nothing to do with it. That's his mantra. If it takes longer to cook it than it does to eat it, he don't want to fool with it.
See, and you're
talking. I can't imagine that.
Lamar and I are two guys who sit and talk about the different ways that we put ingredients on a Boston butt that we're going to cook for 16 hours that you put in like at 11 o'clock at night so you can eat it for dinner the next day.
Oh, Max is the king, Doc, of set it and forget it in the oven. You should discuss this with
him. The greatest invention in the world is the remote thermometer that you stick into the meat, you put on the outside of the oven, and you set it and say, okay, fine, this is done at 165 degrees, and the alarm goes off when it's done. That way you don't have to worry about how long has it been in there or anything else. You know it's right because the temperature is right.
Yeah, my greatest Gabriel story. I was cooking him a cheese omelet one morning because he loved cheese omelet, and I'd always cook it for him. And so one day I said, you know, he's in college at this point, and I said, why don't you step around here? I'll show you how to do this. He goes, why would I want to know how to do that? I said, well, I'm not always going to be standing in this kitchen wherever you're at. I said, when you're off on your own and living by yourself, then you'll be able to cook one. He goes, well, I just want to eat one. I said, okay. I mean, he said, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And he said, I'll eat a Pop-Tart. I mean, you know, doesn't matter. See, for me, though, I'll go to as much trouble. And Sherry, I know you this way, and I think Max is too. I'll go to whatever trouble I got to go to get the best possible outcome of whatever I'm cooking.
Oh, if I'm going to take the time to go in the kitchen?
I'm going to get, it's going to be the best I can do. Oh, yeah.
My husband's a little bit like Gabriel, though. Like, he's like, I don't want to spend all day doing blah, blah, blah. And so I'm going to put these here frozen sausage biscuits in the microwave for a minute. Okay.
I made some beef stew. And so what you have to do is you have to brown the meat, you know, in the pot first. So you've got to do that first. But then you put the vegetables in, the onions and the celery and the carrots. And then you put in some garlic, and you have to stir it until they get a little crisp. And I was standing at the oven one day, and I could smell the smell of that. And I went, I love doing this. This really makes me happy. And I never would have thought that.
I love cutting up vegetables.
There's just something creative about it and meditative about it. Mm-hmm. And so I can't wait, Doc, for you. Like, you're going to have to keep us posted on your kitchen journey. Because I want to hear those little mileposts that you hit where you go, you know, turns out that I really liked making my own vegetable soup or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So have you had one of those yet?
Not yet. So, well, actually, maybe. So I made some fried rice that's... I mean, I made stuff like salmon and Also made a pot roast, which was fun to make. But I made some fried rice recipe that I had seen on TikTok. And so I ended up going and buying the list of seasonings and ingredients. And when I put it in my mouth, because I'm so used to like the frozen dinner style fried rice, when I put this fresh fried rice with like sugar and I think it's some type of, I think it's white pepper. Like it altered my brain chemistry, I think, because I'd never felt that explosion of flavor in my mouth before.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to end up being a foodie. Can't you feel it, Lamar? I feel the young Padawan.
When you hear somebody say the explosion of flavor in my mouth, you're done. You're on it.
The young Padawan is on the path to full Jedi status.
Yes, he is.
I want less. I'm not as codependent as some people. I'm more codependent than a lot of people. I want less of that. And my codependency basically looks something like this. As soon as everyone else is fine and taken care of, then I'll have a minute for myself. And so my own needs and desires and all of that are always not just in second place, but kind of usually in fifth or sixth place. Mm. And that is not good because you're not Mother Teresa or Gandhi. You're resentful and tired and drained, like just an empty battery because everyone else's whatever is more important than yours. And people who are codependent are pleasers. And we have a hard time saying no. And we have an excruciatingly hard time asking for help. And we feel that we have to earn our place in the world, that we could never just be loved or cared for because we're a human being. We have to do tricks and earn and service to earn that. And it's really toxic and it's a terrible way to go through life. And the people around you are not the better for you being that way. In case it sounds like your family's so lucky. No, they're not.
You said that because I said one time I was a people pleaser and there was this elderly woman from Texas and she said, "You may say you're a pleaser, but trust me, ain't no one pleased."
And she's right.
She's right.
That's
exactly what you said, you know?
And it's, I've had years of therapy. It's a super hard pattern to break because for me, it was set in place when I was so young that I don't even remember being poured into that particular mold. But I decided after 2023, which I barely survived. I can't tell you the number of times I just stood up and said, "I'm done here," and meant it in every aspect of my life. Not one more day, not one more minute. I'm done here. And then I had to pull myself back and get my head right. And get back in. I decided that can't do that anymore. So I'm trying baby steps in 2024. And I think, and I'm sorry for my husband, I think the universe has placed me in this current caregiving role to force me to throw up the white flag and go, "I need a little help here." And so my friend Wendy, my bestie Wendy, is my accountability partner in this. Because she came over to my house a couple of days after Kevin's surgery and said, "What are we doing for your birthday?" I'm like, "Well, we're not because I can't right now. We have to wait until we'll do a half birthday in July." And she's like, "You can't keep going like this." And I said, "I know. I decided I'm going to be different in 2023 and you're going to hold me accountable." So now when the phone rings and somebody says, "Hey, I want to bring dinner over," or one of the kids is like, I'm going to come visit my dad. Why don't you go get some you time?" Instead of being like, no, it's okay. We got this. It's okay. It has been excruciating to say, "Yeah, I would love that. I appreciate that. Thank you. That would be great. Wow. Appreciate your offering that. And yes, we would love that. I would love that. Thank you." It sounds like, and Max, you know me so well. Yes. It sounds like nothing. But you know me, it's everything.
Yeah, it is.
It's really been hard. And having everything just so intense right now. I'm not sure that I would have been able to stick to it. Kind of like it took Doc all this long to believe that he was worthy of tasty, delicious, nutritious food, that he was worthy of the time it took to put that meal on a plate. You need sometimes to be forced to treat yourself better.
Can I just say the unfairness of the world? Doc's been eating junk food and, you know, fast food and everything else, and he's...
He looks like a male model. I know. It's so
unfair. It's really... I can't begin to tell you how unfair that is.
It is.
My entire life is... I eat 10 plants a day. Lately, I've been tempted to just eat a house plant because I'm so tired, but my whole life is like plants and getting enough rest. And I look like Oompa Loompa Oompa Dee Doo. I've got a codependent puzzle for you.
It's so not true.
And Doc's over here going, hang on, I found an old hot dog at a gas station. I'm good.
Yeah.
So let's do one more lightning round. Now we all know what want more of and less of, and we can hold each other accountable, right? Like we can say, Max, it's going to be a nice weekend. You're going to get some hiking in, and Max is going to go, oh, I have to vacuum the bathroom. No, buddy, you're going to go hiking. Like, are we going to keep each other accountable? Are we?
I mean, we can, yeah.
All right, lightning round. Pick someone in your life. It could be like your partner. It could be a friend. Pick someone in your life, and right now, tell me, we'll start with you, Lamar, again. Tell me this person and what you want more or less of for them and how you're going to help with that.
How I'm going to help them, not me.
Yeah. Like, for example, you might say, I wish that Carla had less stress on the weekends with, you know, cleaning the house or whatever, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Because that's who I mean. That's the person I'm with all the time. So that would be the easiest way for me to do. So I think I could help. Yes. Okay. I could help her by taking. I'm already doing all the cooking, but that's no problem because I love to do that. But there's a ton of other stuff. There's a ton of other stuff that I need to be taking care of here around the house. So I need to take maybe 3 or 4 duties off of her that she does on a regular basis that would allow her some time because she didn't have any more time than I do, really. So
no, I mean, and Carla's Lamar's wife is a real estate agent. That's a 24/7 job.
Oh, yeah.
My friend Tina, oh, my God. God, like her phone rings in the middle of the night and people are like, we were just thinking about that Central Hall Colonial.
They will. They'll call at 10 or 11 o'clock. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Were you sleeping?
Yeah.
How about you, Max?
To take more initiative with certain things like laundry or vacuuming or something to help Bridget. It isn't that I'm unwilling to do it. I just need to take the initiative to do it. And like Lamar, I do a majority of the cooking and that sort of thing. So it's not like I'm not doing anything. But if there's stuff in the dryer, I do fold it. I do, but I need to take more initiative to do it. Part of the problem with it is some things I don't see. It's like Lamar and I, we have so much in common. And it's not an unwillingness. It's just, it doesn't occur to you to do it. See, I think you just have to be a little bit more aware. Cabinet doors, I leave open. I don't see it. Do you see what I mean? And so I think that applies to other things too. So I'm trying to do that to help. I think that would be something that I would need to do.
I love that. And I love that the point like that you don't see it. I think sometimes we forget whether it's your like partner, your love, your kid, your roommate. Sometimes we have to be reminded that this person doesn't, their buttons are different from yours. They don't see what you see in the same way.
Right.
Like I happen to know that Bridget is like extremely like disciplined and organized and fully has everything tight and buttoned up. And you're not that way.
I am not that
way.
Your
brain works in different ways. So when you say, I don't see it, I completely hear you. I get it.
I'll give you an example. She'll be sick. She'll have the flu. She'll have COVID. I mean, a number of things. It makes her crazy that she can't be doing things. It makes her crazy to rest and recover. I mean, it's very difficult for her to do that.
Which sounds nuts to us, right?
I'm resting and recovering, and I don't have any sickness going on. You know.
Yeah.
How about for you, Doc? Is there some person in your life that you want more or less of for something?
Probably. I'll probably do a better job of reminding Max that if he has things that he wants to do and doesn't have the time to do it, that I'm available to take on more of his stuff. I mean, I know that he's hearing this and he feels guilty about asking me to do stuff.
But I do. I feel terribly. I know that that's the case, but it's like I'll have something to do or I'll have two things to do. And I'll say, Doc, can you do this? And then he'll do it. And then I'll feel terribly guilty that I made him do it. Like somehow I have shirked my responsibilities. And that is not the case. It's not like I'm not doing anything. And so that is, you're right. And I need to do that more.
I want less codependency for you, Max, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Doc is so efficient. Like, the joke is Doc has a to-done list. Like, it's done before he has a chance to think about doing it.
Doc is a great example of what I don't do. He's a great example. He has vision on if we do this now, that'll save us later. I don't have that vision. I'm not wired that way. And when he does that, I always go, damn, how did he do that? And it's just, that's how he's wired. And I go,
he's
wow,
preemptive.
He is preemptive. Yep. Sherry will say, now we're going to need to get this done. And then he'll come on. He'll go, it's already done. Yeah, it's already taken care of. And I went, God, it's a good thing they weren't relying on me because this would have been all screwed up, you know.
Doc, do you play chess by any chance?
We're all playing checkers.
you think strategically in a way that I am not wired for.
He sees the whole board in a way that you're not wired for.
Right.
I think through my kind of like position in radio, I've always thought myself as the person who is trying to figure out the easiest way to make lives easier for everyone. Because as you can tell, this industry is pretty stressful.
It is. Listen, it's great. We get to do work we enjoy, and it has its moments where it's fun and that sort of thing. But it is very stressful.
I feel it's so stressful. It's such a meat grinder, and I feel bad saying that because I don't mean that to sound like a complaint. It isn't. But I had someone say to me just, oh my God, like what, 3-4 days ago. So is it really super fun? You guys are just sitting around, probably in your pajamas, just kind of hanging out.
Oh God, that's all I am.
Oh my, no. There's so much.
No.
There's so much. You know, it's kind
of
like.
The fun
like,
is
it's,
legitimate.
It's kind
the
of like.
The fun is legitimate, but it comes from being prepared, I think. I don't know.
It's kind of like the iceberg. There's so much underneath that needs to be done before you can see what's going on at the top. I mean, that's the thing about it. I mean, and there's an awful lot of stuff that each of us do that none of the others are completely sure what we're doing and how we get there. We're just glad we get there. We don't have the time to sit around and go, hey, how did you get there? How did you, you know.
I think about that a lot, actually, because we are, you know, we don't have any kind of like corporate parent, you know, like there's nothing behind us. We're just ourselves out. We're on that door that Rose wouldn't make room for Jack on while we're talking about the icebergs and Titanic. We're floating on that door together. And over time, like we've just kind of grooved a system of trust and responsibility. Like you kind of know, like everybody knows what they're supposed to do and does it. And then thank God that there's always Doc up on the deck with the telescope playing lookout and keeping us from crashing. Like we're very, very fortunate for that. But I think that Doc, you would probably have been a great chess player because you can see, and I see it every day. He sees the board.
Right.
He just sees the board, Max.
He does.
Not just the next move, but he's looking at the whole board.
He's and for each of us, he knows, he has the best idea of what each of us are doing and figuring out the best way for us to move forward. For, and you're right. He does. He sees the whole board.
He sees it's the board.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I'd make a good personal assistant for Jeff Bezos or somebody.
Shh, that bullshit. Yeah,
no, no. You're not going anywhere, Buster.
No.
First of all, have some self-esteem. You'd make a good guy running his company, not helping him schedule his next Botox injection. You could run that.
when the possibility was floated, because we knew Doc and knew his reputation before he came here, and somebody's you know, was like, "Well, Doc, be interested in coming on with you guys?" And it'd be like, it was like
we were like, "Wait, what?
What? He is?" And then, of course, at the very beginning, Doc is very quiet, and I just thought, "Oh, he must hate all of us. We're just such loathsome people."
Yeah. We were like, wait, is that true? Hire him now before he gets comes to his senses. Get him here.
Be honest, I'm still not sure what he thinks of us.
I like don't you wanna guys.
Know. I don't want to know. Don't want to know.
Here's my favorite thing. Sherry will say, before we get started, she'll say, "Doc, are you here?" And he'll go, "I'm here."
But the thing about Doc, he's the operating system, because he's always here, but he's doing other things. So he mutes his microphone. He's always here, but he keeps his microphone muted. The only time he's not here is if he jumps into a meeting while we're in midstream on something, and then he quietly comes back. He's always here, which Max, here's the other talent that he has. He's got that wild ass multitasking, because we're muted, he's doing 10 other things but still listening, so that when you say something like, "Oh, we better do blah blah blah," he unmutes and says, "Oh, that's done," and then he mutes again. I want you to imagine having the ability to filter through all that noise and pay attention while you're doing 10 other things.
I
would have been a good Batman villain, Doc. You really would.
I don't
You're
know.
Quiet. You can apparently survive on a fistful of like candy, and
and not put on any weight. You'll always fit in whatever your suit is for your villain costume. You'll fit into
always
it.
Always fit in it. I guess for me, the thing that I want less of, and I'm trying hard, I do not want my daughters to be like me. I don't want them to turn out like me. Yeah, I've got, you know, my charms, but I don't want them to feel like it's never their turn to rest or put their feet up or receive. I don't want them to be like that. And of course, I raised them like, you can't not be who you are. And the joke in our family is your grades and your teeth, your grades and your teeth. And we laugh about it, but it's true. Olivia's roommate said to me about a week ago, she goes, "But you know, that makes a lot of sense, because if you keep your grades up and your teeth are healthy, like a lot of things in life are going to go your way," which is what I always thought, right? Yeah. But here's what I want for my girls. I want them to enjoy cooking a meal, and I want them to go for a hike, and I want them to listen to music, and I want them to feel like they don't have to be productive and of service every waking minute. I want them to have less of what drives me, and to a certain degree you, Max, and more of, you know, that whole just want to bang on the drum all day. Like a little bit of that would not be a bad thing, right? A little bit of being in the present, you know, kind of feeling it. And I feel like they're better geared for that than I am. Last night, Olivia texted me a picture. She didn't have any homework and wasn't working last night. So she made her own chocolates. She had little chocolates. She got little chocolate molds. And she made her own chocolates. And she sent me a picture, and they were beautiful. And like, you know, you could probably buy chocolate easier and cheaper than it took her to make them. But she didn't feel that she needed to you know, question that. She wanted to see what that experience was like, and would it be, could she do it, and would it be fun? And she spent several hours and made like a half a dozen little chocolates. And they're beautiful. And she was happy. And isn't that better than feeling like she had to take on somebody else's stuff, right? Yeah. To feel like she has a place in the world. So there you go. More and less. Sounds like a really simple question, but when you ask it, you discover some things about yourself that you may not love. But as long as you're here, you know, there's always the possibility of changing. Lamar's going to spend some time staring at the sun. Doc's going to make a salad. And Max is going to go for a walk outside. And I'm going to fix Bob's computer for the millionth time.
Sherry,
my whole career is you fixing Bob's computer. All right. Let me see it. All right. Now go to where the little gear is. Now hit that button.
It's my whole life.
All right. Now you see where it says settings? All right. Now go into there.
Take a picture of your screen and send it to me. Take a picture of your screen and send it to me.
This is, folks, this is how you know that we're not making this up, because these are all things that happen all the time. Daytime, nighttime, weekdays, weekends, Christmas morning. All right, can you hold the FaceTime steady? I need to see. Where are your downloads on this screen, Bob? Thanks for joining us for the Oddcast. And as long as Bob's computer is working, we'll see you for the next one and the regular Bob and Sherry show. Our website is bobandsherry.com. We hope you get more of the good stuff and less of the bad, and we'll see you next time on the Oddcast. Thank you so much for listening to the Oddcast, Talking Lamar and the Bob and Sherry podcast. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.